We've never considered a cold case. It's always been active for us. Recently, a local author named Eric Hansen has shined new light on this case, which we welcome.
You may remember hearing this snippet from the Monroe Police Department. It was played during our newscast last week. Monroe Police are feeling hopeful that they can finally give closure to the family of Renee Freer, as well as the town of Monroe, after nearly 50 years of more questions than answers in the murder of this 8-year-old girl. She was found dead in the woods near her Monroe home. And a Monroe native has decided to write about this, but also to find answers for this family. And you just heard Monroe Police mention his name, Eric Hansen, who joins the show right now and is an author. And his decision to also involve the community over social media has now really given strength to the police in this investigation. And they really feel confident that they will finally find the person responsible. Eric Hansen, welcome to WICC, and thank you so much for your time. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Now, first of all, Eric, I do not know you personally, and I don't know about my listening audience, but tell us a little bit about you and why you're so invested in this case. I know you're from Monroe originally, but it sounds like you also even had family ties to this case. You had a family member who worked the case at some point. Tell us about your connection.
Yeah, so I work in education, and I have had a later interest in criminal justice, and I'm going to do a program, well, the student loans and all that go through, with UMass Lowell has a great criminal justice program. And once I got accepted into that, I was like, all right, everybody kept asking, what are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with that? I was like, I don't know yet. I don't know that I can be a detective in my 40s. I don't have all the answers. But I started, of course, hopping on Google, because I do a lot of writing. I write horror books. I write Western books. And I Google, and I'm just like, unsolved crimes, delete, unsolved murders in Monroe, Connecticut, thinking there's just no way. There's just no way. And then there's this old Facebook post. I think it was an old group about unsolved cases. And then there was the Freer one, and the contact was my first stepfather.
Wow.
So I hadn't spoken to him, and it was, there's no bad blood or anything like that. I'm in my 40s. I probably lived with him for a handful of years. I don't know, in my early teens, or, you know, even that's the funniest thing about memory. I don't even have the exact age.
Right.
But yeah. And I had a feeling he had been retired. So I was like, is this an accurate thing? Who posted this? Are they under the assumption this is the point person? But because of that, I was just like, okay, well, now I'm kind of intrigued. And then I reached out to some people I knew in Monroe who are of a similar age, if not a little bit older, and they're like, I never heard of this. And I'm like, how is this not a cautionary tale in town? You know, like, we used to go, I mean, everybody will tell you, oh, we used to run out and play and blah, blah, blah. But I don't know how, you know, my buddies and I would go out and there wouldn't be that warning. Hey, you know, careful how long you're out, or make sure. And I'm not questioning anything like occurred, but like, I just don't know how that wasn't brought up in schools. I don't know how it, and maybe it was shortly thereafter. I don't know, because I was born a year after it happened.
It is kind of interesting, though, Eric, when you look back on what, you know, it's funny how you say what the memory can remember, what your brain can remember. But it also was such a different time, right? It's almost hard to imagine what life was like when we didn't have computers and cell phones and social media. Because when you think about, you know, so Renee Freer was found dead in June of 1977. I always tell my audience, and I kind of chuckle when I say it, but I was in sixth grade when we were taking typing classes. You know, like, there were no computers. So you very well could have been in school, and there might have been a notice in the morning. Even then, you're talking maybe for only elementary schools. They probably didn't even bother telling the teens, because it was such a common thing. You know, even in the 90s, I went out and we came home when the sun was going down, but we were in our neighborhoods. There were no cell phones. There was no way of checking in. So it was a different time.
Yeah, and, you know, that it was definitely that culture of, you know, parent pops out, a parent or guardian pops out of the house, screams out the name, the kid comes back, and that's your little the system. You know, nowadays we've got the, you could track the kids or your spouse on your phone just to make sure they're safe and where they are.
So true.
You know, the security in schools is that much better, obviously. You know what I mean? It's just like, it is such a different time, and it's just, it's so unfortunate given what occurred. It's just amazing how it just didn't become, like, there was somebody in the group, and the said something amazing, which I thought was very true. Was like, I heard more about Hannah Karana, that old, you know, witch story than this one.
Yeah. Or I mean, and that's the thing too, is I thought about this story as well, because I, you know, I too, as a Connecticut native, I had brought it up, and not a lot of people were familiar, but not too knowledgeable of the case. But I always think of that horrible story, the little girl who was the pageant winner, or the pageant girl who, you know, they thought it was a home invasion and you know, abducted and all that. I mean, that became national news, and it makes you wonder, you know, why do some stories become national and others don't? So why didn't Renee Freer get the coverage that she should have? And you know, who's to say? But whatever you started working on, Eric, it brought a resurgence to our police department. I know they said that this never became a cold case, but I mean, there were multiple officers who got onto their Facebook page and said, you know, very confidently, they think because of your work, they're going to find who did this, which is pretty extraordinary 47 years later. Did you think that would happen?
No. And I will say this, there might be this, I don't know, assumption in the air, because I was, you know, I have a connection, you know, like I said, my first stepfather was a detective or became a detective. The irony is I lived in his house and didn't know about this, and like, which is like a credit to him to kind of keep things a secret, and you know, detectives can't just air out what they're doing. But I mean, I don't know, I have to go my own channels here, you know, that's the irony. Like the old guard can't tell me anything because they could jeopardize things. The new guard, obviously, I can't, it's active, you know. I probably didn't do myself any favors. Like, the one of the only calls I made to the department was, hey, what could I have access to? And they're like, we can't give you anything. And I was like, well, this case is pretty cold. Like, I didn't mean to start off on a bad note, but I was like, this case is pretty cold. Mm. It's not even on the cold case site in Hartford. And they're like, that's because it's active. So I was like, okay, all right. And really with the Facebook group, I'm actually terrible at Facebook and social media. I'm like, really don't know what I'm doing. I barely know how to use Spotify. I'm like, terrible. My, you know, I'm pathetic in so many ways. And I was like, I did an initial feeler to people like, hey, could somebody like help me do this or want to do this or whatever? And it was just total crickets. And I was like, all right, you know, I just want to research and write and maybe put out a book. Like, I know everybody would probably expect that I'm going to have the book that, you know, finger points at the end. I don't know, like, legally that I can do that. But I was like, I got to create this group and hope it catches on and people, you know, spread the word, and some people come forward and talk. And it's really mainly people from that time. You know what I mean? Because you could hear something in the late 90s, you know, really the point of the group is to get some of those people talking, you know what I mean? From that time period and what do they know? And I will tell you this, I'll give you one little hint. There are people from that time who have relayed to me, if not directly, oh, I thought that case was solved.
Wow.
I might have something interesting to share.
So, Eric, I want to hear more about this. We're going to take a very fast break. We're just going to traffic and weather really quickly. And I want to hear about what has come out. I know that this is a public platform, which is Facebook, where you put an inquiry out there and you've had some really interesting feedback from people. So interesting that Monroe police, for the first time in 47 years, they feel pretty confident that they could find the person responsible for the death of 8-year-old Renee Freer back in June of 1977. We're chatting with Eric Hansen, who is a Monroe native and an author. He was pursuing the story of 8-year-old Renee Freer. She was murdered back in June of 1977, and now, almost 50 years later, Monroe police feel hopeful. They feel like there's new life in the case because of the work Eric was doing for his new book. But it started with, Eric, it sounds like you posted on Facebook, and you were looking for feedback from people in your group. And boy, did you get some feedback, huh? I mean, what did you discover since posting about this? And when did you post?
Well, I found out about this case. The weird thing about the momentum of this, I found out about this case in like mid to late March. So we're, what, 5 weeks later max, and it's already taken on this life. It's so wild to me. In terms of people reaching out, some hop in with their theories, which is okay. It's just one of those things where you got to be careful because, even I had a learning experience, and I told you how bad I am at social media about having certain settings where, I had an anonymous user come in and just name drop, which is not healthy at all. You know what I mean? And
yeah, we certainly don't need that.
We don't need that. So, and then the thing that I'm terrible with Facebook is the feed keeps like refreshing. So if somebody comments on something, that goes to the top. So it's like I've missed one or two things. So I have to go back to those settings and say no more anonymous posts. But I mean, that was a real learning experience because one, you don't want that forum. But if you are going to, if you have the nerve to name drop, at least do so with context or send me a DM.
Right.
And I think actually that's how the forum is used, which I would say is, look, there are some people, and this is not a knock on police, but we've all, plenty of people have, whether they got traffic violations or this or that, or their mom had one bad experience, whatever. There's bias, and people are afraid. So I'm trying to use the forum as a, you could reach out to me first, and then I can, and they might just air out a memory or whatever it may be. And it actually, the thing I'm absolutely loving about it is, there's some of Renee's former students or classmates, and it's just like, it just breaks your heart. They share a wonderful memory, and that's just a real positive place. I really hope the forum can have a little bit more of that as well. Instead of the, I think it was the boogeyman from came to town and did this. It's like, I'm not judging any of that, but I just also want the forum to kind of, not just highlight how horrible this was, but highlight Renee and honor her and keep the dialogue about her that, no one, I don't know anybody out there that I've talked to, like everybody I've talked to out there wants this solved. And just to get that going, if they don't do anything, if they don't post comments, if they don't anything, but just to know that there's an energy out there of like, oh man, I really want this solved. I can't believe this wasn't solved. So that's really what it's about.
I mean, Eric, I know that your book is I believe set to be released later on this year. You're still working on it right now. But did you ever expect to actually bring some resurgence to the case? I mean, this was something that was an interest to you as an author. But did you ever think you'd have, such an impact that police now feel very confident decades later that they actually could find the person responsible?
Well, it's going to sound fresh. I had no real interest in honestly creating a group, like it just by necessity. You know what I mean? You go, hey, my initial pitch didn't work. Okay, I'm going to create this thing. I'd love somebody that I could trust could take it over and maintain a positive forum with updates and this and that. But yeah, it is shocking, but it's inspiring that there are people, playing detective. I mean, I would say leave that to the Monroe police, but it's one of those things where just keep talking about it, keep sharing, regarding the book, it is so wild. I'm taking more calls or emails from the Facebook page than when I'm like, I just want to write.
Right. That's what I mean. I would imagine this was sort of a shock to the system. Even in speaking to you, I was telling my listeners, you're super humble. I said, I don't even know if he's going to share the title of his book because, you had said, listen, I'll come on your show, but I don't want to focus on the book. I want to really focus on this case and what I've discovered, which I think is a really honorable thing. You're not doing some book tour here. You're coming on to talk about your journey and what attracted you to this case and what you have found out. And I just think that's very honorable. I think that's amazing. But boy, the outpouring of comments and I would think inquiries you've gotten, especially in the last couple of weeks since Monroe police feel like, hey, this is worth making a public testament. to other people that we feel confident in this case now and that we could actually get some closure. That has to be pretty unbelievable for you.
Well, look, it's common goal, right? I will be totally honest with you. I have addressed some folks who have thought, and I don't like the word accused, but think it's just a big attention play. And I understand that. I can embrace anybody asking me that question. Oh, are you doing this for attention or something? Which, you know, is an initial grimace, but then at the same time going, well, if I look at a 47-year-old case and barely find any articles online, I barely hear about it. I grew up in the town. I've got a connection to it. Somebody needed to do something is my point. And I don't know that my books, it could be the Facebook group is the thing that's more helpful than the book. 30 people could read the book and it just kind of goes. And then there's a document that, hey, somebody wrote a book about Renee. I hope it catches fire, not the book. I hope my book leads to a podcast. I hope my book leads to, you know, James Patterson's team coming to town and doing books about it. Like, he'll make the millions, but the more attention on this, the better. Okay. Mm-hmm. I kind of, the best way I could say it, I said to one of my closest friends, I said, it's, you know, I quit track, but I look at it like relay race. Like, I want to hand off the baton. Like, I'm just starting it. I just want somebody else to carry it so this doesn't go dark again.
I think that's really admirable, Eric. And I also think it gives hope to so many other cases in Connecticut that unfortunately fall by the wayside. I mean, you know, the one that really stands out to me since I've been on WICC, there's a little girl in Ansonia who's been missing now for several years, nowhere to be found. Her mother was murdered. Her father is accused of all the crime, essentially. And she's nowhere to be found. Vanessa Morales is her name. And every single year, I'd say every couple of months, I'll just bring her up in the news. Because exactly what you're saying, to continue passing the baton to hopefully get answers for the so many families of victims who there are more questions than there are answers in their cases. And so I agree with you. I hope that this brings closure to the Freer family and to the many people who were impacted by this case so many years ago. And I want to thank you for sharing that here on WICC. I don't want to make you uncomfortable, but when do you think your book would be released? Because I personally would like to read it.
Well, thanks. I have to tell you that the Facebook forum and dealing with that is delaying things. But at the same time, this feels like a book like I've already written in my head. So I feel like once I actually sit down, it's going to go. And I know I said spring, summer of 25. I mean, I could get it out before then. I definitely can. And then I have others who are like, hey, maybe, you know, wait till it's solved. I'm like, well, it's been 47 years and it hasn't. I mean, I just, like I said, relay race mode. I want to have a document that's out there for people so they could go, oh, wait a minute. Oh, that's curious. And maybe a high schooler in the town could go, I'm going to start a TikTok and continue this conversation. So I go back and forth, but I actually think putting it out earlier might be better just in terms of keeping the conversation going. Okay. Because if I waited a few years, you know what I mean? All right. This could, like I said, it could go dark again, but.
And we don't want that.
No, and I just, you know, the long and short of it, I'm not the happiest person day to day. I'm like a kind of a grumpy character or whatever, but I just, in regards to stuff like this, in terms of justice, there's just no room for apathy. So it's like when people are like, you know, how could you do that? Or discourage people from talking. There's no place for it. It's like, you know, don't convince them to not say anything. Like it's just one of those things. It's easy to say that's too hard. It'll never get solved and all that. But
it's
you
just
know
a
what?
Cop out.
And what you said about the Ansonia one, hey, you know, maybe there's somebody else out there, like a Ansonia high school student could start a TikTok about that. Keep the comment. You bring it up on the radio. It's just, it takes the people. And one of my friends said in the past, you know, in the past, there used to be a pretty darn good relationship with cops and citizens helping each other. And I'm not about to say that that's not the case, but there is some trepidation about, oh, I don't know that I could tell the cops this, or could I tell you instead? And
there's a huge shift.
We need to get back. we need to get back to that, having that positive dialogue where we're all helping each other.
Yeah. Well, Eric Hansen, I want to thank you so much. Please keep me posted on what is to come in your journey. And I want to thank you for taking the time to share all of this on our WACC platform.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And we will be in touch again. Eric Hansen, who is an author, and I'm saying one of the major players 47 years later to spark what feels like a resurgence in this case in Monroe. In June of 1977, the murder of an 8-year-old girl, Renee Freer, and police feel confident that they finally might get some answers in this case. We will continue to follow the story for you.